After 2 years of hurt and separation, Jimmy Ruth Matthews welcomed her husband home. This was based on obedience, not on strong feelings.
I told him, I said, "Lauren, I don't feel anything for you." And he said, "Well, you know, I don't feel anything for you either." And we both agreed that it was right for us to be together as husband and wife.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Monday, February 9th, 2015. Here's some of what we've heard over the last few days from Jimmy Ruth and Lauren Matthews.
I really feel like God's called me to be a gospel musician. And my dream is to marry a woman that wants to travel and sing gospel music. If you think you'd like to do that too, I'd like you to be my wife.
This was our first date.
I began to get puffed up in pride. Because of my piano gift, I thought that that was my identity.
I think there was probably a clutchiness in me. I had to keep everything perfect.
So you were controlling.
Yes, I was. This woman's friends, the children were friends of our kids.
I remember one time she was cutting my hair and we were alone.
She was a beautician. She had a little shop in her basement.
And she said, "Haven't you figured it out by now? I'm in love with you." Next thing you know, we're talking about we'd divorce our mates and we'd get married in hopes love. So I came to my wife after 18 years of marriage, and I got the big head, and I said, "I don't feel any emotions for you anymore, and I want a divorce."
Christian people were calling me and knocking on my door, and it was almost like, yippee, your husband's committing adultery, now you can get a divorce.
Yes, I asked her, I said, "No, I'm committing adultery. And so, you know, you have a right to divorce me, so go ahead and divorce me."
So you wanted her to divorce
me? Please divorce me. Here's the papers. You can own the home, the car.
I just could not see that was what God was saying in the Word. The woman called me one day, and she told me, she said, "God has shown me that Lauren and I are going to be married." And I said, "Well, there's one problem." I said, "It goes contrary to what the Word of God says, and it won't work." And she says, "Well, we'll see who wins in the end." So it was like warfare was declared.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to deal with me. I couldn't settle Lauren's problems. I had to deal with my problems. When I saw how desperately wicked my own heart was.
In terms of the way you responded to him in this?
Yeah, to pray for God to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
When I started focusing on me and dealing with me, I think that was one of the points when Lauren felt drawn back to me.
My problem is not my wife or this other woman or even this woman. My problem is me.
Mm-hmm.
I need help. But I was so weak and so dependent, I thought I had to have a woman for my identity. And it was at that time in my life that God began to turn me around.
We know for some listeners, this story may be a painful reminder of some tough real-world situations. If that's you, this entire story will offer hope. The details of your story may be different than the one we're about to hear, so I hope you'll listen to Nancy's complete teaching, study God's Word, and get counsel from your local church. Seek God for your situation. Now, when we left off yesterday, Jimmy Ruth and Lauren were separated, but they were each sensing God drawing them to himself.
You know, the Lord gave me a faith vision for Lauren. And, you know, I knew that he was a weak, wimpy man. That's just the way it was. I wanted a strong man spiritually, and I knew that he was not that man. He could perform for other people, but there was not that spiritual strength. And this is what I claimed as my faith vision for Lauren. It's found in Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That was my faith vision for Lauren. that he would become so enthralled with the Word of God.
And a man of God told me one day, he said, Lauren, you're very weak because you have not been in the Word of God. You're depending on a counselor or a wife or a woman or a teacher. He said, you need to get into the Word of God for yourself. And he handed me a daily journaling Bible study. And he said, every day, he said, I want you to write the date. I want you to write out a scripture that you read, write it out, and then write out your communication and prayer and thoughts back to God about the verse that you've read.
You're holding some of those pages in your hand.
And this is number 1,265, which is 26 years and 16 weeks. And people ask, how do you get delivered from adultery and perversion and addiction and all of the things that I was? I said, I don't believe that there's any guru that can come to you and touch you and do it for you. I believe it's your relationship with Christ, and the major part of it for me was getting into the Word of God every day of my life. I am so addicted to the Word of God now. And
that's what has renewed your mind.
Absolutely. Without it, I was gone. The Lord led me on 2 40-day fasts. And it wasn't something that was I did in the natural. I got stronger physically as I did this fast. But I poured the Word of God into my mind, crying out to God. You know, the title of your ministry, Revive Our Hearts. Every time I hear you on the radio, and I thought, oh, God, thank you for reviving my heart. Mm. It was dead, but you brought life through your Word. I was a deceived sinner, and I just cried out to God. And he said, if you'll repent and go back to your wife, that I'll use you in your brokenness. I said, will she take me back? And that's when I came home to see our daughter graduate from high school, and my wife put her arms around me and said, I believe in a God who can put together a broken home. I still believe that. If you're willing to repent, let's believe God for a miracle.
Your daughter was believing God for that too, wasn't she?
Oh, my, I'll never forget the influence she had on me when I came home to see her graduate. It was 1982. It was the year of the Iranian hostages were coming home, so it was common to see yellow ribbons. So when we drove in the driveway, my wife and daughter picked us up at the airport, and we were driving together, you know, to see our daughter graduate, and I remember at the airport, my daughter ran in my arms and hugged me and welcomed me home. My wife came and we just shook hands. And there was no emotions of healthy emotion. I had killed all the marriage feelings.
By the way, there's a lot of emotion right now. Jimmy Ruth is sitting here crying. And so God has tenderized this heart in a way that didn't seem possible at the time.
But when I arrived home with them, I saw all these yellow ribbons, hundreds of yellow ribbons, every tree, every bush, every doorknob,
every house?
Window. I said, what is this, Melanie? She said, Daddy, this is for a very special hostage. She said, you think you're coming home to see me graduate, but Mother and I have been praying. And she said, I feel like God's going to put you back together. I said, honey, it's impossible. Listen. That's ordinary for a child to feel that. But I've killed this marriage. I'm here to see you graduate. I'm out of here. But there's no way this marriage can be healed. It is dead. It's over. And she shrugged her shoulders and said, but Daddy, you forget. You raised me in a Christian home. And we believe in a God who raises the dead. And this marriage is nothing to him. He can do it.
When he came home, he laid on the living room floor on his belly for hours and hours with an open Bible in front of him.
I remember, Nancy, when I finally came home and I began to see that she was a changed woman. I studied my wife. I didn't see the same person this side. this clutchy, fearful woman that was so blanketing and mothering and controlling wasn't there.
So the Lord had really been doing a work in her while you've been gone.
She's the same strong-willed person, but the beauty of coming to the place where she told me, she sat down with me and we talked, and she said, you know, I've learned something. She said, I've learned my significance. With you or without you, I am significant in Christ.
Mm.
I'm somebody because I know Christ as my Savior. And so our relationship changed because not our personalities changed, not our giftedness, not our natural bent to languages of love. They're all there the same, but identity now is in Christ. She knows that with me or without me, she is secure in her relationship with Christ. So when it was about time to leave from the graduation, that night, I was sleeping on the couch and getting ready to leave. And she did something that night I'll never forget.
Well, I was sleeping up in our bedroom, and he was down on the couch. And I went down, and I told him, I said, you're the king of this house, this home. And I said, your place is in the king's chamber. And I said, whenever you're ready to repent, and repentance is not just a few tears and being sorry. Repentance is turning around and going the other direction. I said, when you are ready to repent and turn from your sin, I said, you are welcome to come back to the king's chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, later on, he came back to the king's chamber.
And I've been back ever since.
How could you do that so quickly, be willing for him to come back and to have intimacy when you knew that he'd been in the arms of another woman? Some women would say, I'm sorry, never, I just can't be intimate again. I emotionally, the pictures, the images, the thoughts, I just don't know how you could go there.
Well, you know, it wasn't easy, and I'm not superwoman by any means, but I started focusing on the Word, and when I read the Word, I started looking for the things that I as a woman was to be, as a wife and a woman of God, and I saw that this was all God's design for us as a husband and wife. And, you know, when we came back together, there was no emotions. And, you know, there's a standard of the world and there's a standard of the Word. And the standard of the world says, if it feels good, do it. And
if you don't feel like it, don't do it.
Right. And so I had to lay my emotions aside. And Lauren and I remember one night we went for a walk, and we communicated honestly with each other. And I told him, I said, Lauren, I don't feel anything for you. And he said, well, you know, I don't feel anything for you either. I've killed any love that I ever had for you. It's dead. And we both agreed that it was right for us to be together as husband and wife. And we agreed that we would start speaking at least one compliment a day to each other. Feel it or not, and positive things, that we would do the things that happily married people do together.
By faith, really.
Yes,
exactly. It was exactly by faith. And I remember on that walk that night, we started through the alphabet. And He started out with A, and he said, oh, I said, you're adorable. And then he went to B, you're so beautiful. And it was just very cut and dried. But, you know, it grew after days and weeks and months of pouring positive. See, whatever you feed grows. And people who are in adulterous relationships, if they would put the same energy toward their husband or wife, they would be feeding that marriage relationship, but they are pouring all of that affection and gifts and special treatment to an adulterous person. that's the reason that it grows and it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of people have said, well, how? I remember laying by Lorne and praying and saying, Lord, this was not our idea. This was your plan. And I submit to my husband. I submit to you, first of all. And I submit to my husband because I know it honors you. And it was just through the years that just walking the word and
how long was
it
before before the emotions were restored?
Years.
Yeah. It was 2 years, the relationship of infidelity. And it took at least 2 years to get back to square one. We began to do things in our healing process, like submitting to the word. And she is amazing. I mean, what man has a gift like I have in her? And she submitted to the Lord, and she submitted to me. And I'm hearing about all these different ministers and people who are falling and getting away from their wives. The greatest thing I believe in the world is the power of influence of a godly woman to love her man no matter what. And I have been given that treasure, and I am so grateful. So I believe that if there's anyone listening and you think you're going to be able to get away with it, divorcing your wife and marrying another,
the Gordon, consequences are not worth it.
No, and the Word of God is definitely the only roadmap, and it is adultery. So I believe, Nancy, we're living in a society of adultery. We have them call us by the hundreds through the webpage.
And we want to say to them that through repentance, there is forgiveness and grace, but you don't get that forgiveness and grace by continuing to defend or to rationalize or to blame. There has to be that repentance that God brought you to.
Amen. The word is so clear, and when you do repent, you're free.
In 1 Corinthians 3:3, in the Amplified Version, it says, "For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men?" And the human standard is this: if it feels good, do it. And one of the things I learned is that obedience to the word is not always comfortable. And in fact, sometimes obedience is very painful.
You have to go against everything that's screaming inside
of you.
You
go against
your
nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were times when my faith was really strong, and I would even set a place for Lauren at the table. And I told the kids, someday your daddy's going to sit here and eat again with the family. And I'm sure a lot of people think that's nuts and foolishness, but it was just an expression of my heart to the Lord that I was believing that he would come back.
People ask, how do you put the brokenness together? Well, I was focusing on the Lord, focusing on the word, repenting. She was believing God. And our focus was not on sins and anger and getting even.
It wasn't even focused on we two human beings.
Right. It was the sign language has a sign for sweethearts. You'd think that sweethearts would be fingers all entwined together. But what their sign is two strong personalities together.
And you're putting your fists together.
Yeah, face together. So here we were agreeing with the word. For the first time, really deep in my spirit, I began to live in agreement with the word of God in relationship to the marriage and keeping myself clean and pure. And also, my wife and I began looking to the Lord. And we finally concluded, Nancy, if we never sang again, if we never wrote another song, if we never preached another sermon, that wasn't necessary to have a ministry. All we had to do was hold hands, show up in church, and sit together.
And that was a ministry.
And we had a ministry. And it took the performing thing was gone. It was just, instead of a human doing thing, it was a human being. We were being molded by Christ. I have guys come up to me constantly and talk to me, open up when they hear about what happened and tell me their situations, you know. I said, well, there's hope. You know, don't give up. But don't try to change your wife and manipulate her. Change yourself. Become the man of God that God wants you to be and meet her needs by being that kind of a man. I can't believe what we went through. We don't talk about this a lot anymore. And reliving it here is just, I can't believe the things that I went through. But I'll never forget, Nancy, when I did come home to my family. And the Lord said to me very clearly, if you will repent and tell the story, tell the truth, he said, I will use you to help other men to stay away from this thing. But there is consequences to that adult listening to this voice right now. If you think you can, without consequences, sin the kind of sins that I was committing and not bring results that are horrible in your family, you're kidding yourself. Children hurt. So I feel like the Lord is using us to call people to repentance. I don't know what it's going to take, Nancy, to bring a real revival. Your ministries revive our hearts. What will it take to bring a true revival? But I pray that it will come and that that there will be repentance. And after repentance, there is life. But without repentance, there's no hope. So I believe we need to repent.
There was one thing that I requested when Lauren came home. I think the comfortable thing is to move and relocate.
Nobody knows you and your story.
Right. And our story was public because we had been public people. And I told Lauren, I said, I don't know how long it will take, but I do request that we stay here in Akron, Ohio, until the people who have been hurt by us and the churches who have been hurt, that not only will we receive the grace of God, but as we receive the grace of God, then that healing will pour out on these people. And so we just in this past year felt a release. 26 years. And we moved from Akron, Ohio to Lakeland, Florida. And I'm just so thankful for the way God has restored and healed the body of Christ in our home area. And, you know, I think my focus was taken off of a human being in my husband to expect something that he was not capable of doing. There is no human being who can love us with perfect love. And it did cause me to focus more on the Lord and His perfection. And, you know, I don't want to ever go through what I've been through again, but I really thank God for the things I've learned through it. I don't think I can ever recall a time when I experienced the presence of God in my life like I experienced it when Lauren and I were separated. I wasn't maybe aware of it as much at the moment, but as I look back now, it was some of the most precious times. I remember I kept an open Bible on my kitchen table, and I journaled. One of the things that I found that was very healing for me when I do my journaling is not only to journal the Word, and I find journaling prayers, writing my prayers, puts me in a different context in speaking to the Lord than it does verbally. And I found that journaling what I was feeling at the moment was a tremendous form of healing for me. I had always kind of denied if I was angry, because if I was a Christian, I shouldn't be angry. But the scriptures really do say that we can be angry, but we're not to sin with that anger. And I couldn't even get my emotions straight toward Lauren. I wanted to love him, and yet I despised him all at the same time. And as I learned to journal, and there were many times that I had to write down what I was feeling at that moment and go to the cross and just kneel at the foot of the cross and allow the blood of Christ to cleanse what I was feeling. And it was just terrific therapy. to be able to give that to God and know that He could handle it.
Do you believe in the God who raises the dead, even dead marriages? Jimmy Ruth and Lorne Matthews have been challenging us to believe even when it looks like a relationship is hopeless. If you appreciate what you've heard today, you can thank the listeners who support Revive Our Hearts financially. Their gifts have made today's program possible. And Nancy, those gifts and the ministry that results is having a huge effect on our listeners.
That is so true, Leslie. And we hear so many examples of just that. Let me share just one. We get these day after day. But I got an email from a woman who said, I listen by podcast every morning as I get ready for work, and sometimes as I drive to visit my elderly father in a neighboring community. She says, I'm so grateful to our Heavenly Father for your ministry. He is so faithful to provide exactly what we all need just at the right time. Well, this woman goes on to describe some of the struggles that she's had in the past with depression and the way that God has been transforming her life, her thinking, her mind, through the resources that we've made available from Revive Our Hearts. Listen, every time you donate to this ministry, you help those kinds of connections to be possible. And when you support Revive Our Hearts this week, we'd like to say thanks by sending you the book, The Incomparable Christ, by Oswald Sanders. Now, I really want you to get a copy of this book, and that's because I want you to be reading it as I teach through a related series on the life of Jesus beginning February 18th. So each weekday through Easter, you'll read a chapter. They're short chapters. They're easily readable. You'll read a chapter in The Incomparable Christ. And then on Revive Our Hearts, you'll hear related yet different material being taught on many, many different aspects of the life of Christ. It's a great way to journey through the Lenten season, to walk with the Lord in these weeks leading up to Easter. And along with the book, we'll send you a journal with some making it personal questions about these different aspects of the life and ministry and passion of Christ. So be sure to ask for the book and the journal when you donate any amount to help this ministry continue in the lives of women in the United States and around the world. The number to call is 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us at reviveourhearts.com.
Thanks, Nancy. When Jimmy Ruth Matthews was in her darkest days, abandoned by her husband, she needed the support of her local church.
They prayed with me and for me to a certain point, and then after that, I felt like they would have been more comfortable if I had gone down the street and joined the other church, and then they wouldn't have to deal with me any longer.
We'll hear more of the story tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.